Blog Talk Radio.
The Consummate Fitness Professional, Part 3, continued. Building your clientele, absolutely essential for you to be successful. Obviously, without the clients, you won't get paid, and you won't be successful. In the gym environment, you have the luxury of members that come in, interact with them. They'll be able to know that you're a personal trainer, obviously, and eventually, if you really win them over and build a good relationship with them, you'll be able to get a good client out of them, or at least referrals. When it comes to being an independent trainer, you've actually got to go out there and find them. A little later, I'm going to discuss just a bit more about marketing, how important that is. That way you're able to get good clientele as an independent personal trainer. Client retention relies a lot upon how you conduct yourself and how you interact with your current clientele. Each one of your sessions really needs to be very much unique. And also, you really need to take that extra amount of time focus on that one person. This is their half hour or their hour that's special to them. You got to make it their time. A mistake that I've made before, and I'm sure other trainers make before, towards getting so familiar with your client that you start to connect on a personal level, being that maybe you share just a little bit of, I went to the movies, or I'm having problems with a loved one. I got to discourage you on that. One of my favorite peers and coworkers previously, he was impeccable at how he interacted with his clients. And sometimes I would hear his clients ask him, well, hey, how is your fiance doing? And he'd say, she's great. And then he would move right back in to that person. And focus on them. Let's focus on this exercise. Or how have you been doing in your food log? So client retention really depends largely on how you conduct yourself within the session, how well you make this very much the most important half hour to hour in that person's day. And if you keep them on track to their goals. Because if they're fulfilling goals, naturally speaking, they're probably going to be very happy with your services and more apt to stay on. Always be looking forward and always know what is the next goal. And try to revisit that on a regular basis. The next thing is, if you have those goals set out and you have expectations laid out, I would really suggest that you discuss how long it's going to take to get to that goal. And also advanced purchasing options. Once again, it's not all about sales, but you want to make sure that they understand that this can be an ongoing relationship that can be very fruitful for them and also better for you so you can plan ahead for them. And by advanced purchasing, you'd be able to get all that laid out for them and know exactly where they are and where they are according to their goals. Also, get yourself a good installation policy. This right here is going to vary from one person to the next. It depends on your comfort level. I will tell you that I've heard every excuse there is. Every excuse. And found some of them not to be true and others to be quite frankly very true. But it's going to be up to you what your cancellation policy is. Make sure that you have it in writing. And make sure that you have them sign off on it when they first sign up for your session. They must be aware of your cancellation policy, and I would say that as soon as they do sign up with you as a trainer, that you reiterate your expectations so they understand that. So if your expectations are there's a death in the family or you're ill, I can reschedule you for at a for a later time. I know a lot of trainers that would take any excuse and say, that's okay. But here's the problem. This is your time too, and it's very valuable. So if a person cancels, but you don't charge them, guess who's out of money? Guess who's out of time? You are. And if you're a mobile trainer, an independent trainer, this can be very, very dangerous to your schedule because you could be en route to a person's house or you could be going out of your way to an independent gym when you get that cancellation that really puts you out. You're the one who's going to be inconvenienced. So know your cancellation policy and stick to it and make sure that you express that. So if you charge a client, be sure that you tell them, according to my cancellation policy that I explained when you first signed up, I do have to charge you for that session. Much like a doctor's appointment that most people will miss, the doctor will naturally charge somebody if they don't cancel within 24 hours of an appointment. But once again, establish what your cancellation policy is and stick with it. And make sure that you are consistent with all of your clients, regardless of the relationship that you've built, long-term or short-term. Everybody should be treated equally. Establishing a community presence is also very important. Whether you are in a chain gym or you are an independent personal trainer or a mobile trainer, get yourself out and about and start to meet other people within your community. Unfortunately, there's no sign hanging above your head saying personal trainer and the arrows pointing down to you. You need to get out and you have to really start to meet people. I would recommend a chamber of commerce, any kind of networking meeting. You can even set up some good meetup groups. I know there's a great website called meetup.com, that's meetup.com, meetup.com. That's a good one. And there's sometimes groups that will meet up that are relevant to your expertise. For instance, there's groups that will meet up for diet and nutrition or for fitness. You can even be able to set yourself up a membership through that and even post your own meetup groups. But get out there and become comfortable with meeting new people. Now, I'm not saying you should meet a person and punch them straight in the face with personal trainer, personal trainer, personal trainer. Get to know people. Build relationships. Because if they don't become your clientele, that is okay. But if you establish great relationships and develop rapport with the people that you come across, there's a good chance that they're going to say, I know a great personal trainer that you would love to work with. You can also get yourself involved in charity events. So as a personal trainer, whether in a chain gym, of course you would get permission from that chain gym, or you're an independent trainer, you could probably be able to put in a raffle or a silent auction of some sort for a charity, your sessions. That's a great way to give back to the community and also establish yourself as being a great trainer, willing to give back to the community. And here's the real plus in something like that. A person comes, they get their free sessions from you, you develop great rapport with that person, maybe they'll stay on as a client. But I know for sure if you leave a good impression with this person, they're going to express to the people that they know, I picked up these sessions through a silent auction or through a raffle at a charity, and he does great sessions. You would love this personal trainer. You should check him out, and they would forward your information. So that's where the benefit of working in a community is. And this is not just limited to these two experiences. You can be able to really open up, figure out a way that you can reach out to the community. I knew a friend of mine that actually set up in a park put himself up a little table and had some beverages to rehydrate the runners that were coming by. And they would come by, and he'd wave at them. They'd stop by. He'd give that to them. He'd introduce himself, and they would start up dialogue. And he obtained clients that way. Some people, actually most people, he said, would just kind of go about their way. Then they would start to recognize his face when he would come up on a consistent basis. Pretty neat, right? Now we're on to part four of Consummate Fitness Professional. We discussed a little bit about obtaining your market through advertising. If you're part of a chain gym, chances are pretty likely that there are salespeople that draw in members. The members are there as potential clients. In the past, I had a great friend of mine in the chain gym that I worked at. So when he had downtime, he would go out into the community, place flyers in the doors or on people's car windshields, because he really believed that if he took that extra amount of time to help the sales force, it would bring in additional members that, of course, he could be able to work with. That's completely up to you on how you deal with your time. My downtime at the chain gym, I would just focus on cleaning up equipment, making sure the gym was real tidy, and interacting with the other members. I always wanted to make a point when I was in a chain gym that I stayed busy. If you'd sit at a desk for hours at a time, then chances are pretty likely someone looks over at you and they say, well, geez, doesn't look like he's that good of a personal trainer if he's sitting all the time. Remember, if you're sitting at a desk for even a half hour, hour at a time, that's a half hour, an hour of a person's workout that they're watching you doing nothing. So stay busy, and if you have to do desk work, try to do it out of sight, out of mind. It's better that you're not seen than to be seen doing nothing. As an independent trainer, you're going to have to look into advertising options. I'm very fortunate the ways that I did it were through word of mouth. Friends of friends, friends of clients. After I stepped away from the chain gym, I was super fortunate that the clientele I had and the friends I had were able to send referrals over to me, and I made a rather successful living at doing it. But you may have to look into newspaper ads, possible flyers. Make sure before you start posting flyers up all over the place, make sure that you are doing it according to community standards. Each community and each city and each town is going to be definitely unique. So you want to make sure that you're staying within the guidelines of your community and what's appropriate. Building leads is also important in your business, and this is for everybody. If you have a conversation with Tom, and Tom says, I'm training for a marathon, but I haven't been working out for quite some time, make sure that you jot that down into some kind of notes. I used to have a notebook that would keep tabs on the date, the person I discussed something with, and what was relevant to them, and what was relevant to their goals. These are my leads. These were the relationships that would start to build. It's so important that when you make a connection, remember their name. People love to hear their name. I don't think they're going to go around trumpeting, I love hearing my name. It's just something natural. We're drawn to that. Remember that person's name every single time you see them. So, hey, Tom, how's your marathon training going? Be sincere in your engagement. Don't just be fishing for the next client, but do keep it in the back of your head that this is a potential. Because let's just say that you have a downtime. You have a cancellation. You've got that extra half hour to an hour. And sometimes what I found when I was in a chain gym and I'd have a cancellation, I had downtime, I wanted to stay busy, I would say, hey, Tom, I know you're training for your marathon, but I had a cancellation right now, and I'd rather work with somebody than nobody at all. It would be a big favor to me if you would just kind of pop in. And at that point, you would be busy with a client. And that's important because you're giving him a good service, developing further rapport, and also giving him a little bit of a test drive of you and your personal training expertise. And the other people in the gym are able to see how well you work, rather than how well you sit on your keister and do nothing. That's another way of building leads. As an independent trainer, it's going to be a little bit different, especially if you're doing mobile training. You have a cancellation, you're on en route to that person's house. Well, what do? You can do any number of things. Your only limit is your imagination. You could probably stop at a park and just set up a booth and start to meet people. Never be afraid to ask for referrals. I always interacted with my clients at the very end of a session, and I always asked them to reflect on the session and how they felt about it. I built enough of a rapport that I always said, what is your honest feelings of this session? How well did you feel it went? And they said, well, I would do, or I think I did. It was great that they reflected upon themselves. It's also even better if they say, you did awesome. This was one of my favorite sessions. Or, nah, it was okay. And I always say, well, what could we improve on? How can we get the session better? One of my favorite ways of grading a specific session was on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being the worst session ever and 10 being the best thing you've ever experienced. Where was that on that scale? We never got a perfect 10. But if the person says 7, you say, okay, what could have made the session worse? What could have made it a 4 or 5? They would say something like, well, I didn't have this, this, or this. And say, okay, what would make it closer to being a perfect session, a 9 or a 10? And they'd be able to tell you what they felt was missing. Always kind of take it in, never defensive, and think, okay, this is how I can improve it for the person next time. Don't take it to heart, and don't make it where, well, I'm going to go ahead and blister my client the very next session. No. Think of how you can be able to take that information, that constructive feedback, and make your next session better for that client. So as you're setting expectations and you're fulfilling expectations, it's only natural that you can be able to segue into something as simple as, well, Tom, I see that you've enjoyed our sessions a lot. Do you know of anybody else that would be interested in my services? Just that simple. Not about sales. You can make it very, very just brief. Don't bang them over the head. Here's another way. This is one of my favorite ways. I would have a personal training session with Tom. And usually during the course of that time, he would discuss his interaction with his friends or family. Maybe a recurring person that he would bring up. Maybe a loved one. Maybe even a wife. Either way you shake it, that person has a friend or peer that may be interested in coming along. You can always say, hey, in a future session, if you'd like to, I can do a buddy session with you both. I won't charge anything for that person for this one time. Bring them on in. That's going to be up to you and your comfort level. And if you're working with a chain gym, make sure that's okay with your manager first. Some gyms allow this, and other ones don't allow that at all. As an independent trainer, it's going to be up to you and what your comfort level is. I would really recommend that when you are building your business, that you do that quite frequently if you're able to, but don't let them take liberties. So, for instance, it brings along Bob on one session. Bob has a great session. Maybe you guys hit it off, and you can probably say before disconnecting, I would love to work with you again. Is there any chance that I could be able to work with you one-on-one? If that's the case, Maybe we'll head sign on, night sign on, night not sign on. Let's just say he doesn't sign on. Well, you're discussing something with Tom again in a future session. Hey, I had a lot of fun with Bob. You know, do you have any other friends that you'd like to bring along? Well, I was hoping I could bring Bob along again. You're going to get that to happen. Hey, people love free things. And people love free personal training sessions, let me tell you. Don't allow that to happen. Because you're devaluing your service if they're doing it repeatedly. Offer one sample and then move on. Don't be afraid to follow up with people that have done free sample sessions. So if you're working with a chain gym or you're working as an independent personal trainer, I would highly advise looking to setting up free classes when you're first starting out. Or if you have downtime, you can always set up free classes for them. Try to do it in advance if you can so you can be able to advertise a little bit or even do word of mouth. Free classes can be super easy. Maybe you've got an email list that you can be able to send out a small blast or a campaign to the people on your email list and let them know, my schedule is available on Monday at 3:30, so I'm going to be doing a Pilates class at the clubhouse or at the park or wherever your location might be. Before a free class starts, don't let that session start without having all of those clients that are coming in or potential clients coming in signing their name on. Capture their names, their numbers, and their email addresses. It's just an absolute must. I'd also recommend having them sign off on the personal training waiver as well, just to keep yourself up to snuff in your liability standards. But when you're done with that free class, don't forget. Get them pumped up. This needs to be the absolute best finish ever. And make every one of your sessions that way, of course. But in this free class, it's super important that when everybody's done, they're cheering, they're having fun, they're high-fiving, and they're clapping, and they're screaming, and they're throwing babies in the air. Well, maybe not the last one, but nonetheless, you'll want to make sure that they're excited and have people do something like, let's, as a show of hands, who would like to see future things like this? And if they put their hands up, great. There's a strong potential that you may want to consider doing group training class with these people, especially if they've developed camaraderie amongst themselves in this group training session. Maybe you can be able to see the people that are paired up, because you'll notice after a group training session, people kind of gather together in their small little cliques and they'll kind of talk a little bit. Those are the people maybe you can be able to put into a small group session. Or you can get them to try out on a one-on-one session with you at one point. Remember, not too many free sessions, though. Limit yourself and limit them. Hang on to those leads. Those leads are like gold. Follow up with them, and don't be afraid just to call them. Say, hey, how are you doing? Make contact with them, but also make purpose and reason for what you're doing. Hey, there's a reason why I'm calling you, Tom. And then share with them what you're calling them for. Now, of course, it's not to bang them over the head and try to sell personal training sessions over the phone or by email. Find a purpose. So I've discussed it quite a bit about building relationships. It is important that you really start to know the people that you get into. Remember, it's personal training, not impersonal training. You want to get to know the person personally. Now, I'm not saying on a personal level that you need to start giving massages and take them out for a date. Definitely farthest from the truth, and I highly advise that you don't do that. When you are talking to people, think about making a friend. Money should be secondary in the process. Though it is part of the process, it should not be at the front of your mind as you're talking with somebody, well, I'm going to make this next person my client. Be a good person to them. Treat them well. They'll come back around to you. You plant enough seeds, you come back, there's a good chance there's going to be a good plant growing in its place. knowing your clients. This right here is probably the most important part of your business. You don't know your clients or why they're there with you, then your business will sink for sure. If you have one client and only one client, but you know them really well, then you're fast on track to a successful business. When this person connects with you in their first session, know their purpose, their reason, their why they are doing it, why they are coming to you, and why they're involved in health and fitness altogether. You've got to set realistic, measurable goals with all of your clients. It's not enough that you connect with your client and say, I just want to feel better. Can you really measure feeling better? It's such a subjective level. Well, what do you mean by feeling better? Get to the root cause why they want to feel better. There's a lot of people that don't want to fail, but by not setting a realistic and measurable goal, they're setting themselves up for failure. Because if you want to feel better, you can always just say, hey, I'll rub your shoulders or give you a head massage. That'll make them feel better. Find out what they're in there for. Well, I just want to lose weight. Excellent. You've got yourself a good start. How much weight are you looking to lose? Well, it's not important to me. Okay, you just told me you want to lose weight, you want to feel better. Is there a set number? What would make you feel better? How much weight would that be? If you can really get it whittled down to what they are looking for, I'm looking to lose 10 pounds. Wonderful. Fantastic. Give them a high five at that point. Probably took everything for them to get that out. And remember, that can be very, very trying. You might be just meeting this person. So to tell a complete stranger you want to lose 10 pounds, that takes a lot of courage. Set expectations when it comes to the measurable goals. You determine that losing 10 pounds can be done over the course of 20 weeks. Then set that expectation. On X date, we will have lost 10 pounds. Do this according to the standards that you have set with your personal training certification or degree. Setting expectations is very important, but also make sure you communicate it every session when they and when they also leave from you. I'm excited about you losing 10 pounds. How are things going? They'll express to you how things are going. How has your food been? Oh, my food's been fantastic. Awesome. Very good. Were you able to get that cardio workout in? Oh, I wasn't sure. That's all right. I tell you what, we're still going to make that 10 pounds. Continually bring up that goal. Continually bring it forward. And they're going to be super excited by the time they see you and by the time they leave from you that they can't wait to get back with you in your next session. Meet up with me tomorrow. We're going to discuss just a little bit more part of the consummate fitness professional.